Father, I thank you that in you we are complete. I thank you, Lord, that without you we're not complete. And we all need you, more of you in our lives. And so, Lord God, I pray that as we look to your scriptures this morning, that as we just explore who you are, that we would see where we fit into your great and marvelous plan. So bless each one. Just open our hearts, open our minds to receive from you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Good to see you here. Sandra and I were away last week. We did get to hear the service online. That was kind of cool. A little bit different. I haven't done that for a number of years, but it was good. We did a road trip, Sandra and I, down to Jamestown, Williamsburg area. Anyone ever done that road trip? You know, you have to understand, for Sandra and I, we're Canadians, all right? And we became American citizens. So this whole American history thing is new to us. In other words, it wasn't taught a lot in our schools. So for us, it was like kind of all new and pretty cool. So we're down there at Jamestown, and we got to see the three replica ships that, you know, the original colonists came on. And I'm like, whoa, those are really small boats. I am sure there was a lot of seasickness as those boats were going up and down. You know, it just amazing just to see the fort and just all the different things, the history. And as I was listening to the different experts doing their thing and reading the plaques and all of that, I come to realize that all the colonists that came were either running from something or running to something. You know, for a lot of them, they were in debt. They had issues back in England. And they were actually, the company, the Virginia company, would actually pay you to become a colonist. So they literally would get that money and use it to pay off their debts so that they could go and start a new life. And then you had the other group that were running to something. They had heard about the Spaniards discovering gold, finding gold, you know, down in the South Americas. And they're like, hey, there must be gold up here too. You know, I want to become rich. And so they were running to something, right? Hoping to become rich beyond their wildest imaginations. And again, we know that that didn't work out real well for them, you know, as we study out history. But as I was thinking about that, I was reminded by the scriptures that talk about the fact that we're pilgrims as well. That we're, in a sense, on a spiritual journey in this life. And I wonder whether at times we forget about that. And I think going down there and seeing all that and seeing the price that was paid, that many of these colonists paid for, even with their life, to go after something they believed was real. How much more for us as believers in Jesus should we be pursuing something that's more real than what you can see and taste and touch? And sometimes we forget that, and we get caught up in the ways of this world and the systems of this world, of what's important, what are the priorities in this world. And we forget that there's one priority for the believer, one and one only, and that is the pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beginning. That's the end. There's nothing else in comparison. Everything else pales in comparison. If it was a race, you've got like Jesus here, and like 10 miles back is everything else, if you know what I'm saying. He is the most important of all. And Scripture bears witness of this. In the Old Testament, David says this in Psalms 84, verse 5. He says, "Blessed are those who find strength in you." Meaning God, of course. Their hearts are on the road that leads to you. I love that. Just look at this for a minute. Blessed are those who find strength in you. Their hearts are on the road that leads to you. Now again, because it's what's called a Semitic language, they often would reverse things compared to how we would speak it. But let me just dissect this just for a minute. Here's what David is saying. He's saying, look, for those that are on the road pursuing God, they will be blessed. They will be happy, because that's another word for blessed. They will be happy, and they will find strength. So here's the question, and again, I don't want to show of hands, but are you blessed today? You know, do you feel blessed today? Are you strengthened? Are you strong today? And if the question is no, then what are you pursuing? Just an honest question. In other words, if you're pursuing the things of this world, the titles and the prestige and the money and, you know, all of that kind of stuff as your primary goal, let me tell you something. It's going to be a hollow victory after hollow victory after hollow victory. The reality of it is, for most of us here, that 100 years from now, our name will not be remembered here. But let me tell you something. What we do for the kingdom of God will be remembered for eternity. So in other words, our strength, you know, our power, you know, our blessedness comes from seeking Him and Him alone. But what happens is, because we live in this world, we get deluded, you know. We have everything, you know, coming against us, you know, through the media, through everything, that we forget that it's Him and Him alone. And we often end up with what? One foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom, right? And this back and forth thing, you know, double-mindedness. And what does the word say? That anyone is double-minded can expect nothing from the Lord. You know, and so we as believers need to be pursuing him and him alone. Amen. So, that part of that pursuit is not only pursuing eternity, but more importantly, pursuing what God has for us in the here and now. You don't want to just get to heaven by the skin of your teeth, do you?
No.
You don't. I don't even know where that term came from. There's no skin on your teeth. You know how many people heard that term, right? You just made it by the skin of your teeth. I don't even know where that came from, but it's said. The reality of it is that that's not how God wants us to live. But actually, we're to function and to live in him as we're on that journey towards him. And so how do we do that? Well, we do that through the Holy Spirit, through his presence in our lives. And so that's what we're going to be talking about over the next number of weeks. So I want to introduce something to you this morning that I'm going to give you a heads up warning right now that if you're a little religious, you're going to have a problem with a couple things I'm going to say. But if you stay with me, you'll be okay. All right? It's going to be okay, I promise you. We didn't lose anyone at the first service. Pray we don't lose anyone at the second service. But let me begin by asking a question. I think most of us here will agree about this. Now, again, this is going to sound like left field, but I promise you it does come together. I promise you, all right? How many people here believe that Jesus was and is a true life superhero? True life superhero. The real deal. How many people believe that? Okay, so the people that didn't put up your hands, you don't believe that? Think about it. Doesn't he qualify? You know, what qualifies a superhero nowadays? You know, if you want to look at the movies, what qualifies a superhero? It's someone who has some kind of supernatural ability, right? You know, Superman, he could fly. You know, he had X-ray vision. He could do that. Spider-Man, he could make spiders and jump from building to building. You know, you got all these different people who could do all these different things, right? And so that qualified them to be a superhero. Well, what about Jesus? He healed the sick.
Amen.
He raised the dead.
Hallelujah.
He could read people's thoughts.
Yeah.
He knew what they were going to do before they did it.
Yeah.
He could do multiple miracles. For example, paralytics who have been paralyzed their whole life. He would heal them. And then not only that, that person could get up and run around. So that's multiple miracles. If anyone here has been in the hospital for any length of time, even for a month or so, you can't just jump up and start running around. Your legs all atrophy, you got to go to PT, you know, to get all straightened out. So not only did Jesus heal the paralytics, you know, they literally got up and run around. That's multiple miracles. What about the blind that couldn't see? Just healed, just like that. So I don't know about you, but I think he highly qualifies. If I saw this, it was amazing. I was at a friend's house, a young person's house, and on his wall, he had this giant portrait. And it showed Jesus sitting there, and it showed all the modern superheroes sitting around him. And literally, Jesus says, "Let me tell you how I saved the world." And all the other superheroes are looking and listening to everything that he's saying. What a great, and I look at that and say, man, what a great picture. And literally, that's how it should be. And so I want to say now the statement that's maybe a little more controversial now. So we all believe that Jesus is a superhero, right? All right. How many people believe that you are called to be a superhero? Oh, it's a little quieter. I don't hear so much excitement now. Everyone's like, oh, okay, is this a trick question? You know, I thought I'm to be a servant, you know, a humble servant, just follow Jesus around. But listen to me. What's the qualifications of a superhero? Someone that has supernatural abilities. Now, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the Spirit of God dwells in you, then the Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead abides in you. So what does that mean? That there is access to the supernatural. So now I'm not saying that we go out, you know, I think of some of the bent superheroes. You know, they go out and just do their own thing. That's not what I'm saying here in any way, shape, or form. And you're going to see that. But what I am telling you, that you are called to represent the kingdom of God here on this earth, not by your own natural abilities, but by the supernatural abilities given to you through the presence of God in you. That's how it works. Now, again, if you have a problem with that, if you're a little religious, like, oh no, I can't be like Jesus, then start reading your Bible.
Yes.
It says you are co-heirs with Jesus. You know what that means? That you are seated with him in heavenly places. The Word of God says that the same authority he has passed on to us. And so I can't encourage you enough that you need to begin to believe this for yourself. Now, how do I know whether you believe it or not? actions speak louder than words. In other words, if you're doing superhero stuff, then you actually believe it. But if you're not, then you don't believe it. Now, again, I don't want to show of hands, but when was the last time you prayed for a sick person? I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm not. I'm just helping us all find out where we are. Because if you find out where you are, then you can plot a way out to a new place. Amen? So if you don't believe that you have the ability to pray for someone for them to be healed, you're not going to do it. So you don't believe it. It's that simple, right? You know, if you see someone that's in some kind of circumstance and situation and you're like, I don't know how to help them, and you just walk away, then you don't believe that you can have discernment in the Spirit. You don't believe you can get a word of wisdom or word of knowledge to help that individual because you don't act on it. Because if you believe it, you would act on it, right? That's, you know, your actions will demonstrate what you really believe. So I'm here to be a mouthpiece, so to speak, to encourage you to find your gifts, to find out where God has called you to be within the body of Christ to function supernaturally. Now, I don't know about you, that excites me. I love to be used by God. And for some of you here, you've been used by God. And it's like, it's awesome. Because you realize it's not about you. It's you get to be an instrument of God to touch the world. What did Jesus do? He came for 33 and a half years to coexist with mankind, to show you what the kingdom of God was like, to demonstrate it, especially the last 3.5 years, to demonstrate how it's supposed to work. And then what does he do? He says, guys, I'm heading out. I'm leaving. You know, I'm going to give my life for you. It's all good. Don't worry. And then I'm going to come back. And you can read it in Acts 1 and 2. I'm going to come back and I will dwell in you. And I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's amazing. Just let this begin to sink into you. Begin to believe that it's true. You know why? Because it is. Now, I know there's whole groups of believers that, I'll be honest with you, we call them believers. I don't know what they believe. Here's why. Because if you truly believe that Jesus is the one who he says he is, you got to take the whole package. Yeah. You can't just be, okay, he saved me from my sins. Now, let me tell you something. That's the greatest miracle of all, and I'm not diminishing that in any way. But if that's where it ends, then does that mean you just kind of live your life just holding on till you get into glory, knowing that it's going to be okay there? I know it's going to be okay there. How many people believe that? But listen to me. On the journey there, God wants to do some stuff in you and through you to touch this world around us. You're to represent Jesus. And for that to happen, you need his power to be able to do that. You need the presence of the Holy Spirit. No way around this thing. In fact, you can't do it in your own strength. You need him. Amen? Okay, with that in mind, you need to know 4 specific things. You know, just like every superhero has an origin story, you know what I mean? You know, they all have a story of how they got their powers, you know, and say, well, each and every one of us have an origin story. Now, some of it is specific to you. But the 4 things that I'm going to talk about are foundational for each and every one of us. In other words, we need these 4 truths to be able to operate in what God's called us to do. All right? So here's the first one. You were first adopted and accepted. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 5 to 7. Having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Go back to verse 5 for me. Now look at this. Adopted and accepted. So here it is. You've been predestined. Now that's just a fancy word for God to say he knows what's going to happen before it happened. So thousands of years before you were a twinkle in your parents' eyes, God knew you would exist, knew that you'd be sitting here even this very day to hear what I'm saying to you. That's how specific God is. He knows you by name. And not only that, he has a plan for your life, the Word of God says. Before you lived one day, all your days were numbered. Wow! He's got a plan. You know, every superhero needs to know the plan, right? And so we need to know what God's plan is. So his plan was what? To adopt us. Now listen, ladies, half of you or more are ladies. Now you're starting to get offended. Hey, it's only the guys that get to be superheroes. No. That word sons there, actually when you study it out in the original language, means firstborn. Now back in Bible times, here's what would happen. You owned a farm, you owned a vineyard, you owned a business, and you had like 12 kids. Now the problem is, if you gave every kid an equal share of whatever you had, that farm would have to be sold. that vineyard would have to be divided up. You get what I'm going? And it couldn't carry on anymore. So what the tradition was the firstborn son would get the lion's share of whatever that was, you know, the business, the farm, whatever. The others would get something, but nothing in comparison to the firstborn. And so this scripture is specifically saying that we've been predestined to be adopted as sons, as firstborn. So that means, however billions of people have accepted Jesus, that when we're adopted into the household of God, when we become born again, we are as a firstborn. Now that means that all of us are. So in other words, you know, if Karen, you know, became born again before me, she doesn't get in line in the queue before me. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work that way. I love this, right? No matter how many billions of people have accepted Jesus, you're all firstborn. Hallelujah. You all get to go. See, we have this mentality that the kingdom of God is like a large corporation. That when you become part of a new corporation, where do you start at? In the mailroom, right? You know, you start out, you know, in the worst of the worst jobs, right? And then you work your way up through the ranks till finally, you know, maybe by some miracle, you become even the head of the company, right? Well, in the kingdom, it's not like that at all. The moment you receive Jesus, the moment you've been adopted, you get to go sit with the CEO.
Hallelujah.
Now, just think about that. It's not that you take control of the company, but you go to sit with the CEO, and he can speak to you directly, and then you can follow him. It's amazing. And again, this is contrary to your thinking and my thinking, because we see this whole thing, you got to work your way up. If you had to work your way up, then that means that you earn your salvation. But you don't. You don't, do you? Just look at this. So you're adopted as sons by Jesus, all right? It's because of what Jesus has done. In fact, when you go on to the next verse, it says we've been redeemed, what? By his blood, right? But look at this. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. This is step two. See, step one is the revelation that you've been adopted. And for most of us, we're like, okay, you know, I can kind of swallow that. I can kind of get on board with that. But then all of a sudden it says, you've been accepted as well. But hold it, Lord. You don't know what I thought about this morning. You don't know what I did yesterday. Here's the deal. You don't earn it. You don't deserve your salvation. You don't earn or deserve your position in God. It's a free gift. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I pray everyone here has, a change happened in your inner core. When you became born again, your sin nature was replaced with God. You no longer have a sin nature. And so down here in your spirit, you have been completely changed. And you might say, but hold it. I still think like this, or I still do this. Okay, that's your brain, 18 inches away, all right? Your brain is still catching up. The Bible says we're to renew our mind, what? Daily in Christ Jesus. But your spirit, man, that person down in here is 100% pure Jesus. And that's why we can be adopted. That's why we are accepted. And the thing is, if you don't believe that, then your entire life will be fraught with trying to get God's approval. You know, trying to do good things, trying to do the right thing, trying not to do this or trying to do this. And all it is a works mentality. And in the end, you're just going to feel worse and worse and worse. But if you surrender to God and say, Lord, it's all you. It's what you did on the cross. You did it all. And all I have to do is say yes to it. Can I tell you, your life gets a lot simpler. Now, that doesn't mean then that all of a sudden you're like free to do whatever you want, where you're just like, wow, well, great. If I got a free pass, I'm just going to go do whatever, right? No, because you have that closeness of relationship, because you know that price was paid for you, all of a sudden you're like, man, I just want to love on Jesus. I want to honor him. I want to do what's right. But the thing is, that battle you have in your mind hasn't got anything to do with being saved or not saved. It just has to do with your mind needing to be renewed daily. And that's something we all work on. The idea is, as we carry on in this spiritual journey, as we get closer to our destination, hopefully that battle becomes less and less and less. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And I can honestly say that. Now, I'm going to be honest, for me, sometimes it's 3 steps forward, 2 steps backwards. But you know what? I was 1 step forward. You know, and the reality of it, that's how it is sometimes. Other times it's leaps and bounds forward. Sometimes it's like, hey, I just fell in a pit. Help me out here, Jesus. And he's there. but it has nothing to do with your salvation. So it's so important. These two first A's are so, so important. You've been adopted and you've been accepted. Can you say amen to that? Everyone's on the same page. All right, let's move on to the next one. All right, the next thing is really important. And again, you may think this means something different than what it does mean. So let's just read this scripture. It's John 15, verses 16 and 17, and it's, you've been appointed. Here's Jesus speaking. He says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another." Isn't that a great scripture? We could talk about this. This one could, we could camp on this for months, but I just want to pull a couple of things out here. First of all, who chose us? Jesus did. You know, he's the one speaking. He's the I. And you know, he chose you. Now, when I read that scripture, I'm like, Jesus, I think you got a raw end of the deal when it comes to me. Are you sure? You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, some of us here may feel or think the same thing at times, but he chose you. That's what it says. He says, I chose you. You've been chosen. How about an amen to Jesus for that? Thank him. He has chosen you. Man, you know, he's adopted you. He's accepted you. He's chosen you. All good stuff, right? And then it goes on and says, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Okay, this word appointed is a really interesting word. So when I think of appointed, I think of like, you know, you go into an office somewhere and the CEO says, hey, I've appointed you for this special mission to go do this or do that. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is awesome, right? And that, isn't that what you kind of think? You've been appointed to do something? Well, that's not what this word appointed actually means. So the only example I can give you in modern terms is actually talk about Queen Elizabeth for a second. You know, she's passed away. You know, God bless her. And I believe she was a believer. I've heard some of her story, and I think she knew the Lord. But one of the things that she did was to knight people. All right, I think one of the Beatles was knighted. You know, a bunch of other people, she would knight them, you know, because of some things that they've done. And so what did that person do? Did they walk in to see the queen and say, hey, queen, how you doing? You know, and they just stand up, you know, tall and you know, get knighted? No, what did they actually do when they were before the queen? Anyone know? They knelt down. Literally. Right? Literally, head to the floor almost, right? And then the queen would do this sword thing, you know, you're praying all the time, you're laying there, Lord, don't let her slip and cut my neck, you know, because she's doing side-to-side thing, and you know, hope she doesn't miss, you know, and then you get up, and you're knighted, right? Here's the thing, that word, appointed, actually means to lie horizontal. You might think, but hold it, I've been adopted, I've been accepted, and that, now appointed, it's like sounding awesome. It is awesome, but what it's really talking about is humility and submission to the Holy Spirit, to the presence of God in your life. This is so, so important, and a part that's often missed in certain groups of people where they say, well, look, I'm a child of God. I can do what I want. You know, I can do this. I can do that. There's nowhere in Scripture that says you can do that. As a child of God, the power that's in you, the presence of God, is subject to the Spirit of God as well as subject to you. In other words, you can't just choose to do your own thing. You are what? You're appointed. You're submitted. You're in a place of humility to his presence. Amen? And to do what? So you might bear fruit. See, I love this. And he actually tells us what the fruit is. Read down to the end, right? This is my command. What's the fruit? Love each other. And so, in a sense, that's a condensed term because we know the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we can read about it in Galatians 5:22. Love demonstrated by what? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are all the fruits of the Spirit, but all of it is with love wrapped in it, right? It's just love portrayed in all these different ways. And so that's the kind of fruit we're to bear. So the question I have to ask you and ask me is, how much fruit are we bearing? In other words, as we look at our day, you know, whatever our day is, whether it's today or tomorrow or the next day, how much fruit, eternal fruit, are we bearing for our King? Because we've got all of eternity. You know what I'm saying? We're believing for eternity. We're believing for all of that. And yet we get caught up. And I say, I'm with you on this, all right? So I'm not preaching down at you, even though I am up in the air, just so you can see me, all right? I'm with you. I'm with you on this. I'm in the same boat you are, so to speak. And so I'm asking this question of me as well. How much fruit, eternal-wise, am I bearing for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It's a real question, right? You bring that scripture up and just let's just finish with this. So fruit that will last, so that what, and then it goes, I love this. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Now, I've seen different camps of Christians pull that out, and they're part of, I call it the name it and claim it group, right? It says, whatever you ask, there it is, right there. But look at the context of it. In other words, as you're appointed, as you're bowed in humility before the Lord, as you're his servant, right, wanting to do his will, it says, ask whatever you want and you'll get it. So think about this. What things are you going to ask for? Well, let's say you're trying to witness to your neighbor. And your neighbor's right there, right? And it's like, Lord, you know, I don't know how to reach my neighbor. I pray that you give me whatever tools, whatever necessary, whatever, you know, gifts that I need to be able to reach that neighbor in Jesus' name. And you know what? That's that kind of prayer. Because you're asking for the kingdom's advancement. Not about you. Not about me. It's about him. It's always been about him. It always will be about him. And I pray that, you know, from now till Jesus returns, you'll never hear anything different here in this church, that it's always about him and always will be. Amen? And so we ask, and this is my command, love each other. And so here we are. We've got these 3 points, right? We've been adopted, accepted, and now we've been appointed. Now the last one is probably the most controversial of all, but I'm going to finish with that this morning. And it's this, that you have been anointed. It's 1 John 2:20. Jesus through the Holy Spirit, obviously, to John says this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. What does this word anointing mean? What's it actually mean? Well, in the Old Testament, when they talked about the anointing, the actual term means a smearing. And you might, well, that's just gone from weird to weirder, right? So here's what would happen. Priests and prophets and kings would be anointed. They would take oil, and you know, usually olive oil. Sometimes they'd add some other things to it. And they would put it on the priest or put it on the king or smear it on the prophet. And the idea was they were anointed. What? For service, right? They would then go and do whatever they were called to do. It was symbolic. And in fact, there are different places, even in the Old Testament, where it would say they were smeared with oil and then the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then they went out in power. It's pretty cool, right? Well, under the New Testament, the word anointing literally means the power and presence of Jesus. And I could say this, literally the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. That is the anointing, top and bottom of it. But the thing is, for us to function in it, we need to be, you know, it's another term, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? It just means to be fully dipped, fully immersed. It just means fully submitted to the work of God in your life. If you remember earlier, I said this, the Holy Spirit lives where? Down here. Well, in a sense, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is where connection is made, a divine connection between you and your mind, and then your mind is submitted to the Spirit, and then your body functions and does what the Spirit is asking it to do. Now, I'm not saying that you all of a sudden become a puppet and the Holy Spirit takes over and you're doing stuff you don't want to do. It never, never will he do that. That's what the devil does to people, all right? But the Holy Spirit will not do that. The Holy Spirit will ask you, do you want to do this? And you get to choose yes or no. But I will tell you this, in my 30 years plus with Jesus, anything he's asked me to do, it's always been good. Even though it was maybe a little strange at the time, when I did what he said, it always brought supernatural results every single time. Amen? So what's this anointing for as we just finish up this? Well, let's look at one last scripture, just so you know. Jesus said this of himself in Luke 4, 18, verse 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so we see here the Lord says, I've been anointed to do this. Now, we're not going to look up all the scriptures, but at the end of all 4 Gospels, he says, look, I'm paraphrasing, all the stuff you saw me do, guess what? You get to go do it too. And you know what? Those things you saw me do, you'll do even greater things. Now, I want you to think about this. All the things Jesus did, and he says, you'll do greater things. Healing the sick, raising the dead. You know, I know that some people mock people who pray for people who are dead, you know, who've just died to raise them up. Listen to me. I would rather do that than not do anything. In fact, let me just say this. If you don't exercise the gifts in your life, will anything happen? Big goose egg. But what if you act in faith and believe God for a miracle and actually do what God's telling you to do? What could happen? How about this? Something. So nothing, something. Which is better? Anybody here? I'll take the something. Whatever that might be. The thing is, that's what God's calling us to. But you will not act in faith unless you know you've been adopted and accepted, unless you know you've been appointed and anointed. And we're going to talk in weeks to come how to make this connection happen. You know, right now, all I'm showing you is your position in Christ and challenging you a little bit with that. But there's methods. There's ways to be able to make all this happen, to see Jesus become more real in your life and see the world around you touched for the kingdom of God. How many people would like to see that happen? Amen. Let's stand together. Grab your communion cup. If you didn't on your way in, there should be some on the back tables right back there. See, I can talk about everything I've talked about because of what you hold in your hands. Because of the body and the blood of Jesus. Without that, none of us would have any power, any authority, anything. We wouldn't be standing here today. We wouldn't be watching online today. But Jesus gave his life, then rose again from the grave, victorious over sin and death, so that we could have eternal life. So take this wafer in your hand. This represents the body of Jesus. Let's take it, eat it together. This cup of grape juice represents his blood. So Lord, as we drink this, I pray, Lord God, that we're reminded of the covenant that was established, that you redeemed us by your blood. And it's because of that we have eternal life with you. And Lord, there be any person here right now that doesn't know you personally, I pray right at this moment that they would just look up to you and say, Jesus, I need you. Come into my heart. And that, Lord, that you would come into their heart and they'd be changed from this point forward. Thank you, Lord. And if you've just done that, just come and see me after. I'd love to talk to you. But Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Let's drink together. Lord, I thank you for all the superheroes I see before me. Lord God, superheroes for you. And Lord God, they understand the balance of it. It's not so they can just go out and do their own thing. They understand they're servants. They're your friend. They're co-heirs with you. And they're submitted to your spirit. But nevertheless, they've been given power and authority. I pray that this week will just be a bit of an eye-opening experience for each person. That, Lord God, as opportunities present themselves, that they'll be calling out to you saying, Lord, what do I do? And that, Lord, you would speak to each person with a hungry heart. I pray for signs and wonders and miracles to begin to happen to a greater extent, not only through this church, but through all churches, Lord. And I just thank you. I praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.